hour?
I don't know, man.
That sounded real.
Yeah. Just fucking around. You know how they do like on the late night radio shows? Yeah. Hey, this is absolute
brilliant. But you went to the dark hour. I wonder what you've been thinking about.
What is the one dude that take your hands off the mic? We can hear you. Yeah. Weird. I started recording, by the way. But no, what's the one dude? Is it Albie Shore? What's the one dude that does the radio now?
Albie Shore? Yeah, this is Albie Shore. Coming to you live with the smooth R&B.
Man.
Well, we ain't going to do that. So welcome to the Committed Mentality Podcast. We are a few guys.
I'll be mad as fuck. Maybe I'll get this deep voice test thing off my radio.
Except for we are right. Not doing that.
We're a few guys committed to growing through conversation. No topics are off limits. No feelings are spared. Welcome to the Committed Mentality Podcast. What's up, fellas?
Yo.
Man. How long have y'all been loyal?
Loyal to what?
Your woman.
Women?
Mm-hmm.
Or woman?
Oh, my bad.
Can you rephrase that, sir? I have one woman.
What time is it? how long we been here? Let me check my text message. So loyalty and unconditional love is the topic for today. So we talked a little bit about this beforehand, and I only believe in unconditional love with my children. I have conditional love for everybody. What do y'all think?
I think only children and pets get unconditional love.
Oh, yeah, pets. You know what? I forgot about my dog. I'm glad you reminded me.
You really give them unconditional love or they fucked your kid up?
Wait, I'm sorry, what?
You would really give a pet unconditional love? What if they fucked your kid up? Like, bit the shit out of your kid or scarred your kid? Or
well, what did my kid do?
Damn. What I didn't did know you fucked up pets that what hard, you Are you sure?
What did you do to provoke the dog? Why did the dog bite you?
I've never been around or I've never raised a vicious dog. I've seen people who raise vicious dogs and them dogs fuck their kids up. But I have not ever had a vicious dog.
Exactly. I'm not going to raise a vicious dog. So I'm going to ask my kid, what did you do? Why did they bite? Why did he bite you?
And if the reason is like, I don't know, they just snapped or whatever. Like,
well, like Judge Judy does not like
I'm probably
bulls.
Not going to believe her. That's what my daughter tells me. I didn't do anything. You're lying.
Judge Judy feels like all pit bulls are vicious, right? So anybody comes to her court case with or
a
court
lot of white
with
people
a,
feel that
with
way.
A with a case about a pit bull.
Well, no, you know,
she immediately is like, "Well, you own a vicious dog, so I don't give a fuck." Like,
I was
going to
say
her attitude.
That a pit bull is the most owned dog by a woke white person.
A what?
A woke white person like that claim to be woke or claim to be so for the cause of everything. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like they want to fight somebody's battle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I stand with the pit bulls. You know what I mean? Like,
hey, I'm going to go on a tangent real quick. Have you ever had somebody try to fight a battle for you? Because you mentioned that and it just triggered a memory for me. Have you ever had that happen?
I have.
And
I don't know.
What? Do you remember the situation to talk about?
I do remember.
What happened?
I don't want to say any names. but one of the guy's initials starts with an X.
Okay.
For anybody that knows us, he just fucking
his name starts with an X. And he's a rather large fellow.
Everybody that doesn't know us is not laughing nearly as hard
me,
as us right now.
I was me and him was over a friend from high school's house.
Okay.
And
does race play a context?
No.
Okay.
We all black.
Okay.
And her brother was there, her older brother. And he was like talking shit to me, but I didn't take him serious.
The brother or ex?
The brother.
Okay.
Me and ex was there. It was on the porch.
I see. Okay.
Like on the steps of the porch. And X is standing like right next to me. And the dude, the brother's just talking shit to me. I don't remember why or what started it.
He was probably an asshole. We maybe. Discussed that in the last episode.
Most likely, right?
Yeah.
Listen, that's all subjective. But he was talking shit to me, and I don't really remember why. I just remember not taking him serious.
Uh-huh.
Like just laughing or whatever, like, haha. And he got got closer to me. I still didn't take him serious. He didn't actually touch me.
Yeah,
but the whole time, me and him is doing this back and forth.
Yeah,
X is over here powering up. Like ooh. I don't see him going Super Saiyan the whole time. And then he just released and put him to sleep. And I was like, bro, why'd you do that? He's like, man, nah, because you my nigga. He'll be talking shit to you like that in front of me, bro. Hey, fuck that.
That's the homie.
You know what's
like,
funny?
And I was like, well, damn. All right, bro. Well, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and get the body.
You know what's funny? I thought you were, I mean, maybe you were talking about like a verbal, like, or like taking your side type of thing, which this still is. It's just more physical. I did that shit for you too.
Did you?
Yeah. So do you remember the big fight that we got in? We got in at that New Year's party in that small ass house.
I do remember. Well, that fight was crazy.
When Alex got his
you
hair
did
pulled
do
out.
That.
I walk out the house and Brent and my brother, some other people, were arguing in the street with a bunch of other people. We had all kind of got into it.
It started in the house.
Yeah, yeah. But when I walk out, like, it was crazy to begin with because it was a house, like, the whole house was like the size of this right here. Yeah. And there was probably how many people?
Like
what?
50 people.
50, 60 people. There.
It was
so when the fight happened.
It was rocking, bro.
Pre-COVID days.
Yeah, when the, it was rocking.
When the fight happens, it gets stupid so quick because as soon as people start fighting, it's almost like it's like a cartoon. Everybody starts falling all together because everybody has no space and nowhere to go. Everybody falls into the next
bro,
person.
I promise. I feel like I'm the first one that they went after.
Well, no.
I swear that's how I feel.
No, they went after Alex. So that's how Alex got his hair pulled
after
out.
Him, they
pulled
went
out?
After me.
Huh?
Pulled out?
Yeah, he had braids in.
Yeah, he had braids in. And at one point when they're fighting, whatever, a dude latched onto it. And as like people pulling them apart, dude has Alex's hair locked up, and you just see it like boom, boom, boom.
Oh
boom.
Shit! Like, that hurts my neck thinking about it.
It pulled a whole section.
Yeah, he pulled a whole braid out, bro.
Like Alex would probably still kill somebody to this day for that. Like,
oh my god!
But anyhow, so then it further goes in the house. The crazy thing: Tony ended up punching somebody, titty falling out. Like it was all. It was just a crazy. It was a whole crazy situation. But I walk out the house after like, cause the dude had done some bullshit where like after he was getting into it with Alex, and then like kind of. I think because I was with Alex, tried to sneak me, but he like barely grazed me. Nothing really happened or whatever. And then he ran out of the house, but came in a different door. That's how he got the like blindside shot off on me. Kind of off on me. But anyways, when it all starts to like fully get broken up and people are like, you got to leave. The cops come, whatever, it's not, whatever. I walk out the front door. I already see Brent and Alex and all them are out in the street. As I walk out the door, I just see like, couple dudes talking and like almost like they're plotting, like they're just saying they're like, oh no, dude over there, and they're like pointing in Brent's direction. Then as I start walking over there, I hear a couple of random people N-word this, N-word that as I'm walking over too. And then this little small dude, like small stocky dude, is coming up behind Brent, and I hear him saying like yapping a bunch of bullshit. And I'm still pretty sure it was at Brent. Like, I don't know 1,000%, but he also at the same time is coming up.
Dog, I was like the biggest guy in the house.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, yeah.
For real. Yeah, for real was.
There was a bunch of small white people. For
yeah,
the
that's
part.
Why all they was looking like, because yeah. They saw I was with Alex. They was like, no, yeah. we gotta get him out the way. <Yeah. laughs>
But I see dude coming up to Brent. So as soon as he even got close enough to Brent where I thought he was about to be able to do some shit, I just picked him up and slammed him straight on his head and on the concrete in the street. And Brent turns around and looks at me like he didn't even really process what was going on. And I'm like, man, dude was trying to get like, and Brent's just like kind of almost like laughing it off and just didn't know what to think. Like, do you remember that?
He's too I remember chill. It a different way.
He's too
okay,
chill.
Go ahead, go
what
ahead.
I remember is one of them actually grabbed me. And I couldn't move. Like
yeah,
my arms were like literally stuck at
my
sides.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I think you hit him and he let go. That's how I remember that.
Damn, maybe I did hit him too. But see, I was also super drunk too. But no, I definitely remember the part that he did
have.
Because
I remember
that's
I couldn't
what it was.
Move. Like, I couldn't do nothing. Like, get the.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
over here squirming. Like, man, I can't get this motherfucker strong, bro.
That's what it was. Yeah, bro.
Get your strong ass off of me.
Because he came up behind me. I didn't know who he's behind me.
Yeah.
And he just, and like you said, like he was a little,
you're right,
little
you're
stocky.
Right. Yeah,
so
yeah,
he just
no.
grabbed me like, boom, he locked arms. Like,
yeah.
And I couldn't do
and you
nothing.
Were arguing with somebody else.
Yeah.
He was arguing like, it, like he's saying, like to the front of him with somebody and like telling him somebody had fucked him up or whatever. And dude comes behind him. And at first it seemed like he was just trying to like tell Brent to chill out or whatever. But then it just started getting like a little bit
too aggressive. Well,
yeah.
I was trying to get loose.
Yeah, and
I'm
Brent's trying to get
like,
loose, and I'm like, let him go.
Because I don't think
like,
he was.
I mean?
I don't
like,
think he
get
was
the
trying
fuck
to.
Off of him,
I,
you know what
I think he was just trying to neutralize me,
whatever
like, to get
it was.
Me not to do what I wanted to do.
He got a little too aggressive, so I decided to get aggressive.
And that's
too.
When Aaron came behind me. I think, and that's where I remember you cleaning him up, and then he let go, and I was like, okay, yeah, I'm loose. And then the dude I was arguing with took off.
Well, that right there is two good examples of loyalty. That's some loyal friendship right there. I've had situations where I've had people like
I see what you
do
did
shit
there.
Like that. And
that was smooth. I like that.
And I've always really appreciated it. But in relationships, did you have issues where you felt like, well, we got together pretty young. Not you and I, mean. We got together with our wives pretty young. Have y'all had situations where you felt like you had to deal with your significant other being loyal and like it kind of like fucked with you?
For sure. But with loyalty, man, loyalty is such a weird thing to me. That's kind of why I wanted to bring it up.
Yeah.
I don't know what loyalty, I think, is almost kind of the same thing like you're saying as unconditional love to me.
Okay.
Where it's like, and I want to ask before we got off it with you two, you said only to your kids and maybe your pets. What about your mom? And what about, I don't think, did you answer?
My parents are dead.
No, did you answer like who you would?
Oh yeah, mine. I only have unconditional love with my children. Yes.
Would it be for your parents if they were here?
For sure.
Okay.
I was a mama's boy, so like that's a no brainer for me.
I got you. I just always felt like when I really like dissected it and thought about it, that's the same kind of mentality that I would have in a lot of ways. Is like those are the only people that there's not conditions.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like. I heard somebody explain one time that people get it confused because they think just if you love somebody, you're in a relationship with somebody, it needs to be unconditional. If you say you care about them so much or this and that, it should be unconditional.
I love a lot of people.
Right. But they went on to say like, no, my love is very conditional with most people because I need a certain level of respect. I need a certain amount of trust. I need
for
a
sure.
certain amount of this. Like, and it's different for everybody. It's different for everybody what they need in those situations to then reciprocate, you know what I mean, and give it back or whatever. So in a lot of situations, that's always my thought. Like, I know it's going to be different for everybody. I know that it's going to be like each person needs these things that is what I can't accept or, you know what I mean, or you can't accept. But I think that's it's such a slippery slope. On my end, in my relationship, I've definitely had times. I think she's had times, you know what I mean? To me, I believe all relationships do.
But when you're relating it together, what are you saying? Like, you're saying that loyalty is unconditional love, or it just goes hand in hand?
I think it's kind of hand in hand. I think a lot of people kind of look at it as the same thing because I think people think that that's what that means. They think, and maybe that. Maybe there are. I don't know the definitions well enough to say.
I got to think about that for a
but
second.
But I think they think that loyalty means no matter what happens, I need to act this way. I need to act no matter what this other person does or doesn't do or what other factors come into play. I'm supposed to still do blank. I'm supposed to still be loyal to them.
Yeah.
I'm still supposed to unconditionally love them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I kind of fall in the train of thought as you guys. So I wish I could play devil's advocate in some ways. But
yeah. I have a lot of, I have friends that I have unconditional love for. Even though I can go along the thought of being like, I feel like it's with my kids. Like that's a given. Obviously I'm a parent. But like, I don't know. I guess I haven't been tested in the way of, Kurt, for example, or Mo, both of them. We've been best friends for so long that I feel that I have unconditional love for them because I haven't been tested in a situation where I would think that I would not have love for them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I think that I think you have to be tested.
No doubt.
to say that really. Yeah. So like, can I really say that I have unconditional love for them? Because I have not been tested in that way.
Right.
But your kids test you all the goddamn time.
And siblings, parents, whatever.
Your spouse tests you all the time. And I love my wife, but it is conditional. Like if some shit got out of hand, I don't know if I care that much about my vows to be like.
Let me plug you.
I do love her though, and I've loved her through a lot of shit. She's loved me through a lot of shit, but. And I guess technically our love has been tested. And up to this point, I have had unconditional love for her because there have been conditions where I could have been like, fuck this, I'm out. But I've displayed a certain level of unconditional love. And so has she.
That's why I was going to plug this too, though. So also, I do see the part if somebody says like, this is something I feel, maybe you guys don't. I feel like if I legit love somebody, I'm I don't think I can get out of loving them for the rest of my life. I can stop liking them or not want to be around them or not like want to involve myself with them or whatever. But I'm not sure I could absolutely, if I legit like love them wholeheartedly at one point.
So have you ever loved an ex-girlfriend?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what's tough about it too.
See,
is I can't speak to
love
that.
Love fades after a while. Love, well, love can fade. Typically, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But it also depends on the circumstances.
Do you feel like you've had somebody, or either one of you have had someone where you love them like the most you think you really could love someone at that point?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Then,
my ex when I was like in my 20s, I had a girlfriend. I loved her.
Like.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
To the furthest extent. Yes. And now you feel like you don't love her at all.
I haven't loved her in years.
Okay. Yeah, that's something I haven't experienced.
Like that shit fades away.
Yeah, I have love that has not faded away, but I know what you're talking about though. I know I've loved people that where the love has faded, but I do love people still to this day that hadn't faded.
Let me ask you something too, since we have similar situations with our relationship and how long we've been and stuff. The one thing that's very strange that I thought about too, that adds to like how and the ways I look at how I love my wife and all that, is I've been with her for so long and grown up with her so much, mm-hmm. that it's almost like she's family.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
my wife is a part of me.
Yeah.
And I had a conversation with a friend who was talking about like, you know, what do you value, what's important and stuff like that. And I was talking about my kids and I was like, my wife and kids. And it's like, so if you were in a situation where you had to save somebody, like who would you save? And I was like, well, I mean, obviously I would save my kids, but like I've to this point in my life, they've always been a package. I don't think about my wife as separate. Like leaving my wife doesn't sound like that option at this age of my kids'
life.
Because
it sounds like leaving your family.
Exactly.
I got you. Yeah, yeah.
Like I have trouble wondering how people get in relationships and then like they get with somebody and they have kids with them and everything. I always wonder like what is the catalyst that brought the relationship down? You know what I mean? Like and this goes into kind of like changing a person that you are with, like where. So I haven't experienced that. I don't have any other kids with anybody else. So I don't know what it's like to not then be with that person. So Brent, you might be able to speak on this a little bit. I don't know how comfortable you feel talking about it, but I don't know. I always kind of wonder how you get that far and then it's all over.
That's easy. It's easier to break up with someone than it is to stay together.
For sure. I get that. But
I don't. Why do you say that?
Because
that's what I was going to say. But when you have a kid, I wondered. That's why I was about to finish. That's what
Yeah, like a kid don't solidify shit. A kid don't mean nothing. Like just because you have my kid don't mean that we got to be together.
Well, I think he's also saying maybe more of like, are you saying more like building a family more so than like, just popping out a kid?
Yeah, like how do you get to the point
like
where
a life
you're,
and
where
a,
you're
family, a house, a kid, like you're
yeah,
living
when you
a
make those
life.
Decisions.
Yeah, if she's not doing what you feel she should be doing,
mm-hmm.
just like you said, like.
That's why I believe in cheating, but.
I don't think that solves a lot, but.
You can look past some shit if you just get what you
but,
want.
But that goes like back to unconditional love. Like the love that you have for another, for your partner is very conditional.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? If they're not holding up their end of the bargain,
which is,
what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, which is why I didn't include that. I included my kids and that was a full stop.
Like the love between partners is very conditional. Yeah.
But here's the funny thing. I don't have unconditional love for my wife, but I do have probably more loyalty to my friends. I feel like I have unconditional love for my wife, but I feel like I have more loyalty to my friends. I'm really loyal in a friendship way to my wife, but like my friendships I've had longer than my wife, and it feels different, right? Like I don't know how.
I'm gonna tell you something that you might not believe or know. That's probably common in most relationships.
Yeah,
because it's a different type of loyalty.
Exactly,
it's not the same. Like for the most part, 100%. For the most part, your friends have been there.
Yeah,
for eons longer than your wife, than most people's wives have. Mm-hmm. And same thing goes for like for husbands. Like some girls have had friends since they were kids.
Yeah.
That they have a different type of loyalty to that friend because this friend's been around for so long. Or this friend hasn't been around that long, but you connect with them on a different level.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can't connect with your spouse on every level. That's just not going
to
happen.
I was just about to say that because people always want to be like, well, I should be your everything or I should be that.
You can't be my everything. That drives me crazy. And I can't be your everything. That's not how this works.
I feel like, Aaron, you probably feel like that with your wife.
I will say we are very, very, very close to almost to everything. But I will say I agree with it to a degree. I don't think it's possible to have them be. I don't think it's fair to want them to be your
exactly.
everything.
Exactly.
Not fair. I need
this right now, right? Like I need this. This is an outlet for me. I love hanging with both of you. Like I need this. I can't get that from my wife. Mm-hmm. I can't get this kind of level of conversation with her. I can't get a pushback on my opinion with her. None of that. Like my friendship with Mo, like I don't get the same kind of connection. Like there's no way that I don't understand how people get into their mindset that they can be the only one, or we got to go do everything together, or I got to go do. No, you can do some shit on your own, grow, and come back to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, we don't have to, we can grow together and separately,
mm-hmm.
and we need to be able to coexist, but you have to be able to know what makes you happy, and I need to know what makes me happy, and then we can bring that happiness to each other, but we can't be the only things that make each other happy.
I think you are completely delusional if you think you can be everything for your partner. Sure. You're delusional.
Which is why that ties back into me of saying that I can have conditional love, because there are points where I feel like when you get to those types of expectations, there's no way you can meet those. And those are unfair expectations to put on a relationship. And that's part of like conditions. And
it's very weird because I feel like in a lot of ways, like, I will say my relationship feels like a combination of rolling the dice and getting super lucky, mm-hmm. with a combination of being putting each other through some very fucked up shit and then forcing each other to grow and like adapt and change and stuff like that, to where we are like, me and her don't really kick it with almost anyone.
Yeah.
And
y'all are the only ones I kick it with.
But I do agree.
For sure. Just saying.
I do agree that that's probably a downfall. It's a bad thing. I tell her all the time, like, I go play basketball. I do this. Mm-hmm. I have random other things that I do and interact with other people. But I'm constantly telling her, like, you need that also.
Yeah.
And I don't like trying to tell her what to do with her life.
Mm-hmm.
But on the same note, I understand the things we're talking about.
Yeah.
That, like, you need conversations and other outlets and things to where you can talk differently, be differently, get different feedback. Like, you need that, just because you'll go crazy and then you'll go crazy without it. And then also I think you'll yearn for it if you put it off too much, that can then cause other problems and shit like that or whatever. And I think that was for sure probably a fault of both of ours early on in our relationship. Now I kind of have, like I said, my little more thing. She has more people that, she's so busy in business, and maybe this is why maybe you can relate to a little bit more. She's so busy in business that she doesn't really have a lot of time to do as much as she does with me and the kids and the business, and then try to do like the type of shit we're talking about. Yeah,
like I feel like I'm always home. My wife feels like I'm never home.
She's so trying to make time to do that.
Yeah.
I'm always on her. Y'all got to tell her too.
She's trying to make time for that.
But she's been having more and more conversations of like getting in.
You don't feel like you see your wife enough?
Group text. Huh?
You don't feel like you see your wife enough?
Oh, no, I see her a ton. I said she spends so much time with me and the kids and the business.
They both here all day.
Yeah.
Most of the time. Well, especially in except
my wife's at home all day. She feels like she never sees me. Like, so if I go out, like, I think she just has, like, she's jealous in a way. Like, she doesn't make, like, friendship connections the way that I do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't have, like, a lot of flyby friends. I try to make a connection with somebody, and I like to have meaningful conversations. I don't like to just have, like, I don't know. I just stupid shit. But so then like I'll try to go to lunch with people, or I'll try to go out to dinner with somebody, or just hang out wherever just to have a conversation, because that's just me. It's always been me. Yeah. And but she can't do that. Like she doesn't have friends that to do that with. And I feel like it always comes from a jealous point of view
that definitely happens, because I've seen it in a million relationships.
I've experienced that too.
Yeah, I see it in mine from time to time. I mean, sometimes when I get back from playing basketball or early on stages. She's pretty cool about the podcast, but early on when I first started doing the other podcasts and all that, it was just like you would hear little statements or a little whatever, like
all little sly comments.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, you feel some type of way that I
must be nice,
right?
That I had that I had this many hours away from the family or the kids or her or whatever, but she doesn't have. And I think that just it's kind of something that it seems like humans in general, like,
well, at your
stage, be tit for tat.
At your stage, I think my wife is tit for tat.
I went through the same thing with my ex. Like you go out, you hang out with your friends, you can do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. At the
you
stages,
choose not to. That's not my fault.
At the ages your children are, I think that's probably the most common argument. At my kids are teenagers now, so like for me, there's no I'm not watching kids.
Right, y'all ain't fuck with y'all kids no more.
Right. We do a lot of family stuff together where we kind of hang out. We played cards for like 4 hours on Saturday.
Yeah,
we were playing
like you're not,
catchphrase
you don't
earlier.
Have to watch them. Like
exactly.
Have
that's
to
my
watch
that's my
kids.
Point. I'm saying is like I don't have to watch them. Like I was here at the podcast. My wife went to go do some cryo therapy, mm-hmm. and the kids was home. Or even time like we'll go out to dinner. Like we make dinner and maybe we'll go out and we'll go do something or whatever. But we're at that age where my kids are at that age where that won't be the reason for the argument. I feel like sometimes y'all in your age groups right now, it's like when the burden of having to take care of another person is just on the one person and you see the other person going to have fun, you're like, man. Oh, you gonna go do your little podcast, huh? You gonna go hang with your little friends, huh?
But here's the thing, though, and this is where the disconnect comes. The taking care of having the responsibility of taking care of that kid is not only on one person.
That's the point of
that's what I'm saying.
So when the other
for
person
whatever
goes,
reason, that's how they look at it.
Yeah, because they're not there. It's easy to get mad at
gone,
that.
When you're gone, then they're the only one. So then they feel like the only one, and they feel lonely in a situation.
Yeah,
that's fucking stupid.
I understand
both
of them.
That's dumb because that's self-inflicted misery. Why are you doing that to yourself? That's dumb as fuck.
Exactly. But guys do the same. Guys will feel that same way if the woman, whoever's doing it.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, for sure.
If you're doing it, you're a fucking moron.
Yeah, I completely agree.
You're hurting yourself. Stop doing that.
My wife went through that a little bit because she had postpartum with our daughter. And so my son, they're 18 months apart. So he was a 2 and she was still going through postpartum. When he was 2 and she had, you know, a couple month old daughter, and it was rough. Like she almost didn't know how to exist with other adults anymore. She was home. I was working 14 hours a day. I was sometimes working 6 or 7 days a week trying to get promoted.
Now that's different.
My mom had recently died. Like I was going through a lot myself, like emotionally trying to grow, like mentally with no guidance whatsoever. And, she was getting a lot of, stress. Just trying to manage the kids. And I'm there. I'll change diapers when I'm there. But shit, I got to go to bed and I got to get up and go to work in the morning. You know what I mean? In my mind, I'm doing everything I got to do to get with our family to the next level. And she's home. I'm expecting like, okay, sleep when they sleep. Do what they do. Like, you know what I mean? In my mind, it's just fucking easy because when I'm home, it's easy, you know, because there's 2 of us. But I'm not seeing the weight on her shoulders when I'm not there. And those were stresses that were hard in our relationship. But we went through that, like, you know, many different times. And, you know, we've been together 16, we've been together 17 years.
You know what's funny about that? Because I experienced that, too.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm gone, she's looking at me like, I'm here with the kid. I'm here with Vanessa. I'm like, all right. Then when she leaves and I'm there with Vanessa, I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with, why is it so different for her than this is easy?
Yo, I felt that same way. Like,
this is easy as fuck. Why is she tripping?
I've always, specifically, my kids are very easy. So I've not, whenever I've been with the kids and she was home, I was like,
what
is her problem?
This is the conclusion I came to because I wouldn't get a real answer.
Mm-hmm.
So like, okay, I'm not going to fucking worry about that. I'm gonna come to my own conclusion because I know if I go there for one, it's gonna be a lie.
Yeah.
It's not gonna be the truth. I think it's jealousy.
That's what I said earlier.
Hold on, let me plug something that I gotta ask you because this is something that me and Tony have had a lot of conversation about, and something that I'm constantly working on now. And we had a little like argument about it the other day before the gym. The one thing is now that I'm home way more,
mm-hmm.
I can see especially a 5-year-old and a 1-year-old are nuts right now. Like, they just, they want to do dumb shit 24/7.
Yeah, that's two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's a little different.
Well, hold on.
And that's a big little gap. That's a big age gap.
Right, but one
So they can't entertain each other that much.
Yeah. They just piss each other off.
But when you have one.
I know. Hold on, though. Hold on. I want to ask you something because, I mean, it might not be a fact.
Well, I had two. They were really close.
But it might be something that maybe you didn't consider or not bring. I don't know. So in my relationship, I have things like, so when we were getting ready for the gym the other day and that this situation comes up. So I'm getting ready for the gym. Like, you know what I mean? I'm getting gym clothes on, you know what I mean? Doing whatever, taking pre-workout
stuff. What time of day?
Stuff, dude. This is early in the morning. First thing in the morning. Like, not super early, but just early morning.
Okay.
But we're... And the kids were actually allowed to go to daycare for at the gym or whatever this. So the kids have to get ready and stuff too. My wife is always the one that kind of just takes the lead and gets the kids ready.
Mm-hmm.
Because she always has, I always let it happen.
Yeah.
Because I let it happen, she ends up with so much more to do before we leave when it should technically probably be either a joint effort or sometimes she does it, sometimes I do it, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I've gotten very comfortable in just knowing, like, oh, yeah, before I even think about it, she's already going to have them dressed and shit. Because that's how she operates, too. You guys probably see me put in a lot of the posts and shit. That's just how she operates. She does a lot of things, like, and is thinking about shit way before me. And she's better with time for me, so I'm doing shit last minute.
Mm-hmm.
She's getting them ready 20 minutes before we got to leave or whatever. Because of that, she ends up having a lot more to do to get ready.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know what I mean? I'm not, I know. And then in that moment when she tells me, like, damn, like, that sucked. That was a pain in the ass. I had to get the kids ready to do this while you're just getting yourself ready. I got to get me ready and both the kids, this and that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes, especially guys, we forget some of that shit or we get comfortable with some of that. I don't know if that's the case in your situation. Maybe you guys.
For me, that
was very different.
I can tell you right now that wasn't the case for me.
Okay.
Because I was very aware of that, not wanting to make her have to do everything that involved our daughter.
I loved doing that shit.
I do a lot of shit with my daughter, with my kids.
Oh, I'm not taking away from you.
No, I'm not saying that you are. I'm just
he said, Hold on. Yeah. I do a lot of stuff with my kids.
Yeah. What I'm saying is
I love these kids, goddammit.
Yeah, for sure.
These my goddamn kids.
But as far as like them getting them ready, I slack. I like, you know what I mean? I always tell you I'm big on recognizing, or especially if somebody comes to me with some shit that I'm not doing my part or doing as good as I could be doing, whatever, to then do stuff about it or try to like
see. I believe
understand
in
it.
I believe in shit talking. Like, if my wife was doing something and she wanted me to do something, speak up. Tell me.
But see, that's where I went. That's where I went with it in this conversation. I told her. I said, you gotta understand just how I am, and I think a lot of men are, even though like I technically shouldn't have to be told.
Mm-hmm.
You should say something. If you even make a joke about it, like you're saying, I'll go do it.
But like in that situation, I would expect, I would expect there to have been at some point a conversation to say, "Hey, I need you to do this." Right. You know what I'm saying? Like there would have been something.
Most women don't operate
because,
like that. Though.
That shit is so stupid.
But if you
that is annoying.
If you're in that situation and you're seeing it happen. In your mind, I would imagine you're like, that's my superwoman. She getting that shit done. You know what I mean? Like, or anybody looking at that and being like, oh, she got this shit on lock. Like, maybe she has a routine. Maybe she has a rhythm. And so you're constantly, I'm not saying you specifically, you in general, like kind of watching it and being like, okay, she got this. She got this. She got this. Like, maybe I should jump in and help, but am I getting in the way? Like, I don't know what the personality type would be, but I feel like there's a lot of women that I have known and met over the years that feel like they have to be in control of that, and like
that's, and that is their downfall. That is 100% their downfall. Yeah. And they want to get mad when they don't get any help. You want this.
Yeah.
You want to be
you
in
want
control.
It a specific way. And
you
I don't want
it to be like this.
I don't want to speak on all women. But I'll go back to it being Tony. Do you find that being the case that she is like
she wants
to control it?
She wants to control it enough to be on time.
Does she want?
I'll say that
she probably should be the one in control of that.
That's what I'm saying.
But
you got to grow up, bro.
Yeah.
But what if?
Agreed.
could she then maybe like delegate a couple things for you?
For sure. And I would do them. That's kind of where the conversation went. Yeah. As I told her, like, first of all, I agree. See the problem or your frustration in that situation. No arguments from this side. but I'm telling you on how I operate. If you would say something, it would just make things easier.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you have to, you need to, you should be. It's anything is your fault. I'm just telling you these will go better if you say something to me.
Yeah.
You say, hey, can you go get Landon ready? Like, especially specific things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Especially if you get specific, I'll do exactly what you said.
Yeah.
But sometimes also what, and I hate, this is the one time where I really hate using like generalizations or throwing people, but women are also big on like talking around something.
Oh my God, I fucking hate that shit.
Talking God around something.
Damn, I hate that shit.
And I'm not saying this, like, and maybe that's not a bad thing or a crazy thing to say or like anything of like being sexist or being this and that, but it just seems to be a very different like form of behavior in male and female.
Mm-hmm. I hate that shit.
You know what I mean?
Brett is pissed right now.
Because
I have a recent memory that pisses me off.
It even, yeah.
It doesn't make, it does, it doesn't like make me mad.
Yeah.
But. I'm gonna tell y'all.
Go ahead.
So me and wife was talking about something. She had did something that was like out of her character.
Uh-huh.
That I didn't like.
Yeah.
And I may have my reaction may have been wrong. And then we talked about it. And then I said, okay, so let me ask you this. And I asked her a simple yes or no question. I said, were you wrong for that? You know what she had the nerve to say to me? I'm a human and so. No!
Yes, we
stop,
no.
Stop dancing!
Humans make mistakes. I am a human. If there was a mistake made, it was probably because I'm human. I will not acknowledge or confirm or deny.
It was yes or no. She's got the,
well,
she
am
got
I a human?
She got the tap dance.
Okay, well, there you go.
All right, if you're going to tap dance, then I'm going to just walk off the floor.
I see both sides of it all the time. Like, with those, like there's that, and then there's also you say something, and they tell you something totally different that you said or mm-hmm. that you meant.
So they don't listen.
Yeah. No, I won't take
no,
that.
No, I will say okay. that. They don't listen.
I'll let him say it,
this, this, look, this, yeah. This is what they do, dog. They will listen. You'll come to them. You'll say something to them. They will listen for
at a bar.
They will listen. Listen. Let me get through this. Hold on. Hold on.
I'm trying to prepare myself.
Let me get through this.
Okay.
They will listen to what you say. They will hear what you say. They will listen to one or two things, to one or two words that you say.
Oh, that's my wife.
And that's what they will hang on to. They won't listen to the totality of your message. They will pick out a fraction of it and hang on to that. Omit everything else that you said, and just that one part is what they're going
to
focus
with
on.
With as much as I cuss, my wife just latches onto the cuss words.
Yeah.
You were like, cussing at me, and I'm like, do you have any idea what I said?
Right.
I said, no, you're yelling, and you were cussing. I was like, actually, I was talking like this, quiet. And I said, shit.
That was something. Stupid. You like, just called me stupid? No, I said, that was stupid.
Like, no, I cursed. I didn't curse
yeah.
at you.
Yeah.
But there was cursing. There was curse words in my statement.
Yeah.
That were not directed at you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was a point in that sentence. Do we have any idea what it was?
No.
Right. So I'm a very excited person, right? I am animated. I get loud, like my voice carries.
I like doing that too.
Yeah, but I don't mean it.
It kind of sucks. You got kids upstairs, like.
I don't mean it though. Like,
turn this motherfucker out,
right?
Well, we don't want to blow people's ears.
I'm going. A friend of mine I was telling y'all about. Like when we're talking and I get loud, like it freaks him out because I'm like I was like,
it's not
most black. Yeah, it's not his personality. And
it's a white guy.
Yeah.
Of course.
And I'm like, these black people are just loud. Like, yeah, I don't meet quiet black. And whenever I have met a quiet black person, I ain't trust them.
Damn.
I don't trust a single quiet black person.
Oh,
and I don't trust loud white people.
Well, I'm loud, so you don't trust
me. not in your way. There's like an animated type of a white person that I'm thinking
white,
of specifically.
The other white people like we had in the other countries. Yeah. The other white
yeah.
people.
Yeah, and I'm like.
The people who look like me. Were
yeah. Because like- mostly white people are like quiet, calm. But when like, I've met a lot of white guys that have like a lot of vibrato in their voice and they're like, and I have not trusted them or I've lost trust in them because of shit that they've
that
done. So
like a used car
it's,
salesman.
It's been a learned behavior. this isn't, you know, just some shit, but But no, real shit, I've met quiet black people that I have not trusted. I just don't.
Where were we at?
Where were we going? We were talking about loyalty and friendship and unconditional love.
Yeah, and then we got off on the relationship. Yeah.
So back in the relationship.
Let me ask you this. Can you have loyalty without love?
Yes.
Loyalty without love is manipulation.
Ooh.
So I'm going to ask you again. Can you have loyalty without love?
I have been loyal to friends that I didn't love.
Why?
Just because that's how I am. I'm not unloyal by nature in that way. No, that's a lie. Let me see. I have been loyal to friends.
Everything goes back to how selfish he is.
At least I'm honest, goddamn.
I know, I like it. It's just funny.
I am. I'm selfish.
Loyalty is such a weird thing to me where I'm like, I feel like we all decide. We all decide if it means something.
Loyalty is a decision.
And we all decide if loyalty even means something.
Yeah.
What is the decision based on, though?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I'm trying to think.
Is it based on what this person does for you?
I'm trying to think.
Or is it based on how you feel about them? That's why I said you can't have loyalty without real loyalty without love. There has to be some type of love.
Guess what? Also, loyalty. You also can have loyalty just because you decide to be a loyal person in your character.
Yeah.
Now, when you get into a really tough situation because of any type of the relationships we're talking about, whether it's spouse, friends, whatever, that shit might get tested of do you want to just be somebody that has all this character in this situation when shit has came out, gotten crazy or whatever. But that's why I say it depends on what you decide to be loyal about.
Well, is the reverse true? Maybe. If you love someone, does that, because I've.
Do you no. have to then be loyal?
Yeah.
No.
Because I have not had that experience.
No. Love is, love is kind of shitty. Love is kind of trash for real. I mean, let's just be real. Because you can shit on someone you love with no problem.
Yeah. I didn't used to feel like, I've never felt love was a strong. I didn't used to say I love you to people.
Yeah,
I'm going to disagree with y'all. I think love can be shitty, but I think it's also dope as shit too.
No, of course it can be. But you love someone, ain't going to stop you from shitting on them. For the most part, that you could still shit on someone you love.
For sure.
But if you like
almost all of us.
But listen, but if you like someone,
you can still shit on them.
I love my wife and I like my wife.
Yeah.
I still cheat it.
I know it's possible. But I just think, someone says that they love you, that doesn't mean that much.
But listen to what I was going to say, which kind of, I think, speaks to what he just said. What I have learned is that no matter what we do most of the time as humans at the end of or at the last moment of any situation of especially in these loyalty, love, whatever situations, we ultimately react whatever for ourselves.
I didn't like my wife when I cheated though.
But I'm saying,
see what I mean?
Yeah.
Ultimately, you react.
I did love her. I did not like her at that time.
But you didn't like her.
Yeah. But ultimately, you reacted.
I was right again. Don't gloss over that. I was just. I was correct again. Keep going.
But listen to what I'm saying. But he also ultimately then decided to do what he wanted or what was he felt he needed, wanted, what was best for any, whatever the reason was.
Because he didn't like her.
That's my downfall, is I will always choose myself. I will always do what I want.
But
that's literally my downfall.
But tell me this. Do y'all agree with this?
I like this guy.
I think a lot of people, I think a lot of people also do, but just don't admit it or portray something else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of people try to uphold images and
that's
shit
what
like
I'm saying.
That, yeah.
But I'm saying, I think 99.5% people behind the scenes in any of these type of situations we're talking about, at the last moment are going to act for themselves instead of for loyalty to their friend, for loyalty to their spouse, for maybe even sometimes loyalty to a parent, to a kid or whatever.
But I do have loyalty to a circle, though. I try to sometimes I feel like what's in my best interest is to do something that's not in my best interest, for my kids or for my wife or for my friends or for a certain situation. It may not be best. It may not be what exactly I want, but it does work for me. Does that make sense? I'm trying to like I'll make decisions that aren't necessarily in my favor, but they work for my circle.
Well, then maybe I was kind of putting it out there wrong. I'm not saying as in like, I guess I shouldn't say best for you. I'm saying what you want most the most at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make more sense? Like, I feel like when it comes down to a certain situation, whatever, like the person at the last moment acts very individual and mm-hmm. chooses to go very individual most of the time, way more often than people admit or want to. Like,
I'll agree with that more often.
Even agree on. Yeah. So this was something I thought about the other day that I wanted to see what you guys thought about this statement too. So a while back I heard somebody say, we're not who people think we are. We're not even who we think we are. We're who we are to other people.
Oh yeah. I've always felt that way.
So but you gotta understand. So it I think a lot of people never have that brought up to them or that conversation with themselves that like you're not even who you think you are.
No.
You're not who you think. I'm mm-hmm. not who I think I am.
No.
I'm my actions. I'm how I treat other people.
And you're only the sum of those actions to that person who's adding it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've definitely been to every person, I am a different person. Even though I think that I'm the same person, no matter where I go, I have there's a perception of me to a lot of different people. Like even just on Facebook, just a minute ago, when I was looking at a post and somebody kind of like described me in the image that they had of me, like, oh, this is so you. And I'm like, yeah, that is so me. Yeah. but I may feel like that, but somebody else could probably see that. I'm like, this motherfucker putting on a front. Yeah.
That gets muddy though.
Talk to me.
Because you can't control how people see you.
Exactly.
Right, but listen to what I'm saying.
And what they see you might not even be you.
But that is the point. That's the entire point of that statement. Yeah.
Do you think, like, the easiest way I think to simple that down, do you think that you are the same person in your mind as your actions are?
I would have to say yes.
I think it's a tough thing that I think if all of us really think about, it's not totally.
I don't. Yeah.
I would have to say yes.
You think that, mm-hmm. but somebody looking at you or knows you differently in a different way may not.
And the way I think about it.
You're right about that. But who's right? How are you going to tell me how I am just because of how you see me?
Because I'm looking from the outside in.
Well, hold on. That's where I'll say I don't look at it as like somebody being right or wrong. I'm saying like if there's a video camera or recorder or whatever watching you, that's the person you are, not who you think you are in your head, not who that person thinks you are in their head. You're your actions.
But what if in my head I'm doing the same thing that this camera sees?
Think most people are doing it to a certain degree, listen, but then don't self-reflect so deep enough to know that sometimes, like, I think a lot of us have this, and this is the easiest way to explain it for me. I think a lot of us have this where we say, oh, I never do this. Or, yeah. I would never do this.
Yeah.
But then you do it, okay? And then after, you're either still in the mindset of I would never do this or I don't do this. That's not me.
The universe even finds a way to point it, that shit out.
Even though you've done
you.
It.
Yeah. Do you know why that is? Because I think about 98% of people don't have any self-awareness.
Okay, but listen to me. Do you see what I'm saying as far as even with your own self? You mm-hmm. There's probably things in your life that you think, like, that's not me. I don't do that shit, or that's not, like, this, whatever. But you have, or you eventually do, okay? But then after it happens, the person you turn into or you become is either the person that still says, I'm not that dude. I just made a mistake or whatever. Like, but I'm not that dude. I don't do that.
Well, you're not.
You're not your mistakes. Right, right.
Well,
but listen.
Hold on. That's also muddy. Go ahead.
Okay. And then the other thing is, or you're the person that, like, does it and, like, almost ignores it. You know what I mean? Because it's you. So you don't look at it the same as
a lot of women do that.
But there's no absolute right or wrong. Yeah. It's all about the perception that you are to that person.
I think, well, if you're honest with yourself, I think the truth always comes from you.
But it could come from someone else, too.
Because someone could see you in the light that ain't you.
That's true.
And that just depends on their
right.
perception.
It's not about being right or wrong.
I think it is.
Because their perception of you, based on what they've observed or the actions that you've displayed to them, is more magnified than anything else that you've done.
Their perception of you is
and it could be wrong at
listen,
that person
but listen,
at
but
that
listen
moment.
To me though, their perception. Their perception of you has little to do with you and more to do with their lack of knowledge.
Of you,
Yeah.
Or in general. Especially of you, like you said.
I've been
I've fought this before. And not just their lack of knowledge, but their knowledge base.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What they have with your actions that associate them with a certain type of memory from a certain type of person.
Do you also see that I'm not speaking to either of the sides that you guys are speaking to, though? I'm not speaking to what you think you are or the side that he's saying of what people think you are. I'm just speaking of what your actual actions are. Like what you do in a day-to-day or don't do or like I'm saying, or things that you think you would never do but then you do, but then like you're like you never do them again or whatever. Any of those things like – all of us have this image of who we are.
Yeah.
Like, I'm this dude that doesn't do this, acts like this, treats my family like this, looks like. But then sometimes you go a little too far.
Well,
you're not totally who you wanted to be as a dad in a certain moment.
Yeah.
You're not totally who you wanted to be.
Well, that's a part of being human.
No doubt. But I'm saying I don't think a lot of people.
Everybody will not be on point 100% of the time.
And I'm not saying that as in like everybody's fucking super shady. I just think a lot of people kind of would benefit from that. I benefited from that a lot, I think, to start like somewhat making changes in myself and realizing some things where I think I'm this guy. I think I'm this person in a conversation.
Yeah.
But who am I really being?
But you know, I've used that for me as people. I think in general, I feel like people call that humility because I've had people tell me like, "Oh my God, you're so blah 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 blah." I'm like, "No, that's just like
it's what it seems like."
Yeah, it seems like this. Mm-hmm. Like I had this guy I just met. We're talking and he does sign language and I thought it was cool, so he like my fish tank, and we just kind of like connected, and like we just became friends, and we just started talking back and forth, and
through sign language.
I thought it was cool because he's in a commercial, he does sign language, and so I was like, oh, this is a cool guy, and he had commented on my fish tank on a picture that I had, so then we started talking about fish, and that's how the conversation kind of went through.
The conversation is online.
Yeah,
sign language.
No, he does.
No, he's clowning.
God damn it.
It was getting too heavy in here. Keep going.
I can't remember what I was about to say. Oh.
It was probably stupid anyway.
I can't remember what I was about to say now.
Well, fuck it. Back to what I was saying. Now. I just think, like, with that being the case, I think it's helpful, first of all.
I gotta remember. Sorry.
No,
hold
ahead,
on.
Go ahead.
He was talking about.
You kind of scared me.
He was talking about my. That's what I do that scares the other friend. I was telling you. I remember doing that and he's freaked out.
So we just learned he's not just scared because he's white, because Brent's scared too.
Yeah.
Well, I have a little bit of white in me.
I do too. My great grandmother's white.
Yeah. My grandma was white.
And. So he was like, he was complimenting me about like hustling. I was telling him about what my schedule was and everything throughout the week. And it's like, man, you're hustling and doing this and doing that. And I was like, I could be making more phone calls, or I could be doing this, or I could be like, you know, that. And he still thought it was awesome. And I'm just like, when I get compliments, I don't know how I'm not good at taking compliments because I'm always feeling like I don't ever live up to the compliment that people are giving me. But I have had situations where I have boasted about myself because I really thought I did some shit.
Man, the one thing that us three share in a big way is we're very big on ourselves.
Yeah. I love myself.
Fucking man.
Yeah.
But listen, I'm going to tell you this, though. Take every compliment.
But you know what? It's hard.
Take every single one you get.
But when I hear it and receive it, in my mind, instantly I'm like,
thank you. That's how easy that is.
I say thank you. There's a difference though.
Yeah,
I can say thank you.
Don't shit on it.
But in my mind, I'm like, yeah, I probably could be doing a little bit more.
They're super tough to take in business and in productivity.
Yeah,
super tough to take because you always feel like you could be more productive.
Oh, for sure.
What's wrong with y'all?
No,
because
it's just
when
real,
you're
man.
Whenever
like when you get started, you start seeing holes.
I see holes in the things that I do like on a daily basis.
But the financials.
But if I'm given a compliment, I'm going to believe that because I also know that I'm fucking incredible.
But the financial stability of my family depends solely on the amount of work that I do, and when I don't feel like I'm doing enough, sometimes that compliment. It's hard to accept in my brain because I'm like, shit, I could be doing more. Like, your image of me is this guy that's doing a lot, and I don't feel like I'm
now,
doing a
could,
lot.
You could still feel like you could be doing more.
Yeah.
But,
that's all I'm saying.
But that compliment also means that you are doing good.
I get what you're saying, B.
Yeah, I get what
so
you're saying.
So you got to take
I
that,
say,
too.
Yeah,
you gotta
I, take and both I, say, of them. I say thank you.
Just don't dwell on the I could be doing more too much. You can dwell. Keep it there.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's motivation to go
farther.
Yeah, kind
of like the difference of, like, when you take a compliment, instead of taking it as if somebody says you're a fucking hustler, instead of thinking they're saying you're the biggest, best hustler ever, take it as like, nah, you're a hustler. Don't try to take it and pick it apart from
but
the
my,
most hustle.
The point
saying,
in that
right?
was how I use that as humility. I don't use that as vibrato. Like, it doesn't make me
all
feel
my bravado
like,
comes from me.
Yeah.
It doesn't come from outside compliments.
I think one of the biggest reasons me and you click in a lot of ways, B, is because we're very confident and big on ourselves,
mm-hmm.
but we question the shit out of ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't see that in you, and that could speak to what Brandon was talking about, where, like, people's perception and this and that. A lot of people I've always heard say, like, Brent thinks Brent is a cocky motherfucker and this, that, and that. But also,
I've heard that, too.
But no doubt, I've heard it, too, about me.
You know
not
how I feel,
as much
you,
as I've
you know
heard
how
it
feel
about you.
You know how I feel about cockiness? People only call you cocky when your confidence exceeds theirs.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. So if I'm cocky, that's your fault.
Yeah, you're doubting yourself.
I had this whole parody when I was a store manager.
No, but you were saying something about me. Go ahead, keep going.
keep talking about me.
I'm gonna hear what he got to say.
What else do you have to say about me?
I ain't gonna cut. I'm gonna cut my man off. You know what I'm saying?
Because he's talking about your ass.
Let him finish.
All the rest of the time, I'm talking too much.
You just had this long ass paragraph. Wait a minute.
I was gonna wrap it up with, like, I think a lot of people don't know how often you self reflect and how big you do, like, kind of try to check your own ego and things like that or whatever. And I think that's a dope, like, balance that a lot of people could benefit mm-hmm. from, is to do what you do of being big on yourself and very confident and, like, proud of who you are, but also constantly checking yourself on what you need to be better at and where your ego is too big in certain areas. I feel like you've gotten to a place where you, like, you have areas where you feel like, I'm super good with my ego being on 1,000 in this area. But in other areas, I'm going to tell you, like, damn, like, that's my ego, or I need to do this, or, like, I'm working on this, or whatever, you know what I mean? But also, sometimes...
Yeah, enough about him. Me next.
because you don't talk very much, sometimes that part doesn't come out,
nah,
and
know,
that's why they think you're cocky.
You know what it is? It's like athletes. Everybody sees the finished product.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see the hours and hours and hours and hours of work that put in to get to that product.
Yeah.
So they don't see the work that I do on myself. Mm-hmm. They just see what I present. Like, mm-hmm. what I'm showing is I've got to this point because I've worked on myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel this good about myself because of how much I've grown.
Damn,
because of how much I've matured.
Must be nice.
Sounds like he has a committed mentality.
Man, it
hey,
does.
It is nice. Very nice.
Exactly.
Hey, the weather's great up here. Y'all got to catch me.
Must Be Nice is coming to another episode soon. Yes, sir. We only talk. You,
hold
you
on,
finish what your thought was about loyalty and unconditional love.
We got any conclusions?
I just wanted to kind of get your guys' perspective on it. It sounded like you guys did have a lot to say about it as well, too. I just wondered, did you kind of fall on that train of thought, too, as well, that it is conditional in – Jesus. Excuse me. It's conditional in some – relationships or some places or whatever, and it's not in others. You know what I mean? Like, especially with the kids. I mean, I think it's so weird how that just feels like automatic. Like, we don't even get to choose that. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And that's where it's like, are we really? We're probably not can choose.
But you know,
there are
people who do choose that, murder their kids and, like,
yeah,
all that shit. I can't
understand.
Yeah. So I don't really think that, like, it's conditioned or, like, or what'd you say?
Automatic.
Like, yeah, yeah. I think that might be a different question, is like, do you choose unconditional love?
That's kind of, I guess that's exactly where I wanted the conversation to go in a lot of ways, because that's what I kind of felt like. That's why I said, I think we all make a decision
mm-hmm.
where to be loyal, where to be like conditional, unconditional with our love.
And I don't think men get unconditional love at all.
Yeah. But you did want to talk about that. So
yeah. I don't think we do at all. Like, when in regards to men and women,
mm-hmm.
women, you have to accept them as they are. Right? But men, we have to change. So everything that we do is constantly under a microscope, because as soon as we slip up, that love is gone.
Mm-hmm.
But women, we have to love them exactly how they are and who they are.
That sounds very personal. in general, but at the same time,
you've never heard that before.
No, I was gonna say at the same time that has
I haven't experienced it.
That has a lot of very valid points. I will say like what I understand you, about. He's gonna say you haven't experienced nothing.
I haven't.
You ain't been outside, man.
I haven't had the experience. I haven't had the experience where I didn't like the only person that I would have expected unconditional love from would be like my mom, my aunt, my grandmother, like, right. And I've gotten that. And so I haven't had the experience of other people around me and me expecting them to have unconditional love for me.
Well, I've never expected unconditional love from women.
So, but I mean, like, I've been in a place where I accept myself.
Well, I think what Brent's saying, sorry to interrupt, but I think what Brent is saying is what we were talking about with the change. I think Brent has spoken to that a decent amount of times before on social media and all that or whatever, and he's said that it does seem, and I think I can agree with that a little bit, that it does seem women are very big on, like, wanting to see change in a man when they're with them, and, like, he does this, or and then sometimes disliking change even, too, as well. To where I've seen, I think either him or other people mentioned too, like, it's like you want them to change, but then they change, you don't like that. Mm-hmm. You want that person that you were with when you first got with because of it was so romantic and this and that, but at the same time, then people don't want the same person when they got with them because they're not showing any growth.
Yeah, I think that happens on both sides.
It definitely happens on both sides, but I think Brent is maybe saying that he saw or experienced it more maybe in his relationships or coming from women or women around him or something.
Yeah.
I haven't.
But I mean, I've been in the streets for a while.
Yeah. Know?
I was outside.
I've been shacked up.
Yeah, you've been in quarantine. I've been in quarantine for a long time.
I mean, I've had some experiences during quarantine.
Watching dodgeball. And 51st Dates. Yeah. Dodgeball is actually a good movie.
You can speak a lot more to the dating scene and all that for sure. That's why I'm always interested to hear your thoughts on it and about that. About like the. That's why I wanted to bring it to you and ask what you thought about the change and all that. I mean, we can kind of get into that.
Yeah, we can get to that another time. Yeah, I can touch on that one.
Cool. We'll do that on another episode for sure.
I think I'm versed in that area.
On this one, we got...
In dating?
Yeah.
I'll let y'all's weird silence.
What? No, I just was... My bad, I wasn't paying attention, and I was just getting clarification.
No, that's fine. I just saw the weird little...
Nah, like, he wasn't sure what was going on. I saw it in his eyes. he wasn't really paying attention.
I wasn't.
He wanted to feel like he was a part of the conversation, though.
Because you paused, and you was like, I got more experience on that. I was like, oh.
I seated it.
Yeah, I was trying to catch up. My bad.
on that note, I think we're three conditional love ambassadors. So, all right, let's wrap this up.
Yeah, play the music.